Hey, we're back with another episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, how was your week?
I had a pretty good week.
Great.
Thanks for asking.
No problem. The people, we've been getting dozens of emails that offended I don't ask you how your week has been.
Well, thanks for bringing it up.
They're all emails I've sent to myself. But anyway.
You know, I feel like we're being gifted all this NBA drama between Phil Jackson, James Dolan, Magic Johnson. We're going to get into all of it, of course, but these Brick House episodes pretty much write themselves.
I know, right?
Oh, this week we're brought to you by Handy.
Mm-hmm.
After listening to this podcast and using the offer code for your house is going to be clean. It might even have a new addition on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys thought you were just getting a few basketball jokes here.
You weren't expecting to get full maid service at a great deal.
Matt's going to tell you about that Handy offer code in a few minutes. But first, Matt.
What?
LeBron James. I don't know if this is what he asked for exactly, but he's got a new teammate.
No.
This week.
Who's this?
Derek Williams.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He signed a 10-day contract. It's going to cost the Cavs $57,000 in salary for the 10 days for Derek Williams and $144,000 in luxury tax.
Nice.
You know, when I see these headlines now, you know what I think?
Fake news.
Okay. I think, who leaked this information and why?
Like, who leaked how much it's going to cost and then how much it's going to be for luxury purposes, right?
You don't. It wasn't LeBron James' agent that called Wojnarowski to tell him this information, right?
Right.
This is somebody next to Dan Gilbert who is leaking the information to the media. Like, yeah, we signed the player that LeBron wanted. Just to give you an example, every dollar we spend costs $3 for us, you know, in luxury tax.
So basically they leaked out that they're paying $150,000 for 10 days of Derek Williams.
Yeah, $200,000.
$200,000.
Plus. And earlier in the week, someone leaked to Forbes that the Cavs had lost $40 million last season in their championship season.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like the reason that they leaked this information is to curry favor with fan base, curry favor maybe with LeBron, to give him an example, show him some hard numbers. We're losing money here.
Yeah, I've always kind of heard that whole losing thing, that losing money thing is kind of sketchy. Like they didn't lose $40 million last year.
Right.
Like they didn't end up in the negative four. They would not be a franchise anymore if they lost $40 million.
Right.
So are they saying that compared to other years made $40 million less? I don't. Again, it is why, who is leaking this and why, basically.
Exactly, yeah. Whenever billionaires have the opportunity, they'll make the numbers look however they want to fit whatever narrative they're looking for.
Right, because you can say, oh, we really went balls to the wall and this is how much we want to win, we lost $40 million. But at the same time, if everybody was happy, I bet you they would find a way to say they made $200 million and they're great businessmen.
Right. I mean, this is not Twitter we're talking about. You can't say we lost $40 million this year. By the way, our asset is worth $1 billion.
Yeah, right.
If you're Dan Gilbert, he owns Quicken Loans anyways.
Sure.
Just write himself a loan. He's the owner.
Right. Yeah. I bet all those guys have great fun with their taxes.
Oh, you know who really wants to get into a new tax bracket, and it's showing? Dion Waiters.
Oh, man, yeah.
Until I decided to put some money on him, the Heat had a 13-game win streak going.
Oh, are you responsible for their collapse of a...
Yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers, yeah, and my enthusiasm for the Miami Heat are responsible for their collapse. But before that, 13 wins was the longest win streak in all of NBA history for any team under 500.
Yeah, wow. Did they win more games on that winning streak than they had won before the winning streak?
They might have, now that you mention it. I think they only have like 25 wins.
Right.
Oh, so this past weekend, Kevin Durant returned to Oklahoma City. I sent you a message that circulating the Oklahoma City arena were Coward t-shirts.
Right, yeah.
With Coward with a K, the K and D highlighted on the front, and then on the back of the shirt was just a cupcake.
Yeah.
In reference to our diss of the week from the 4th of July.
Right.
When Russell Westbrook just simply tweeted a picture of cupcakes in response to Kevin Durant's announcement that he was leaving.
Yeah. Didn't he have the excuse of, like, it was 4th of July and it was nothing Kevin Durant related?
Oh, yeah. That's all he said was happy 4th, y'all.
Yeah, happy 4th. Exactly.
Yeah, the drama leading up to these games and all the excitement that I work myself into is a lot more entertaining than the games actually turn out to
right.
be. You know, the Warriors were beating the Thunder last year when the Thunder had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, right.
Westbrook did have 47 points, but mostly the highlight for Oklahoma City were those cupcake shirts.
Did you see the next night or a couple nights later, the Warriors and Thunder D-League teams played each other and set the D-League attendance record?
Really?
Yeah, they played in
Tulsa or something?
No. It was either the Warriors home stadium or the Thunder home stadium, like the actual one.
Oh, wow.
And one of the Warriors D-League players hit a half-court buzzer beater at halftime.
So, wow.
Yeah. I was going to say, are the Warriors and Thunder, do you consider them a rivalry?
Rivalry? No. The Thunder would have to win any game ever
right.
for that to be a rivalry.
That's what I was just, because when you said that the hype is always bigger than the actual game, it's like these aren't turning out to be close games, really.
Oh, you know, the other highlight was Westbrook showing up in a Willie Beeman jersey.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Which, you know, the internet was making all sorts of speculations as to what kind of diss that was, you know?
Right.
Willie Beeman's jersey was 13, so like, oh, maybe they're mocking how the Warriors were up 3-1. Obviously, Willie Beeman was the star who shone once the other guy got out of the way.
Right.
There's a handful of different ways Westbrook could have been dissing Durant with that jersey. So we're going to get into the Knicks drama, which was prevalent this past week. But before we get into that, I have what I think is a prequel to some drama that's about to go down in our own backyard here, Matt.
Oh, no.
That's with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
About Monday last week, the Lakers announced they have a new employee.
Right.
He's worked there before.
A new old employee.
His name is Magic Johnson.
Heard of him.
Ramona Shelburne had a long piece on ESPN about it. At one point, she said Jeannie Buss hired a 6'9" Hall of Fame shield, essentially. Basically, so she keeps the blood off her hands if and when it comes time to fire her brother, Jim Buss, and or, you know, the longtime general manager, Mitch Kupchak.
We're getting kind of close to the Jimmy Buss needs to put up or shut up deadline, right?
Yeah, he said 3 or 4 years he would be back contention.
Right.
They are contending for a top pick in the
draft.
Yes,
they are.
Right,
he didn't.
Now.
Did he specify what they're contending for? Because that may be a loophole.
So, of course, when Jim Buss heard that Magic Johnson was hired by his sister, Jim Buss, who Magic has been publicly critical of for years,
mm-hmm.
he left a voicemail on Magic's phone.
Oh, no.
He wanted to see, you know, what's the plan?
Yeah.
Man? Magic eventually got back to him to say that he just wants to help.
Mm-hmm.
He's just here because he's a fan of the Lakers, always has been, wants to see them do well. A couple days later, not sources say, Magic Johnson says, I want to call all the shots around here.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's because he finally had some time to talk to Kupchak and Buss, who he said he would get their side of the story. To, you know, what their thinking was these
right.
past few years with the decisions and the signings they've made. Shelburne really highlighted a pattern that's been happening these past few years. If you're a Lakers fan, you probably know all too well that they've been swinging and missing on the biggest free agents. We all know that, right?
Yeah,
they wanted
for sure.
Dwight Howard to come back. They tried to get Carmelo, LaMarcus Aldridge. Some players like Kevin Durant, LeBron James wouldn't even take a meeting with them.
Right.
While they were trying to get these guys, there's this whole other tier of free agents that they missed out on because they were waiting with bated breath for these superstars to come and save their franchise.
They got Timofey Mozgov, though. So.
We'll get there.
Yeah, okay.
But in the meantime, they had missed out on Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
Who said he always imagined himself being a Laker.
So they could have Isaiah Thomas for $6 million a year right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He signed with the Suns for that four-year $28 million deal. Kent Bazemore, another player that he played for the Lakers one point, but chose Atlanta over them. Kyle Lowry was the same year that they were flirting with Carmelo in 2014.
Yeah, was a...
Trevor Ariza wanted to come back to the Lakers. Pau Gasol was really mistreated on his way out the door. Eric Gordon was another guy. So this whole other tier of free agents that were missed out on because they were waiting for the big guys.
Yeah. The big guys that never came.
Exactly.
That even showed up, yeah.
And then one of the other things that I found really interesting about the article was that Magic has been informed now, as he starts asking around as to what the front office is all about. He has to help decide, you know, should he tell Jeannie Buss to fire Kupchak and Buss or what's going on. The information that he found is that several agents complain that Kupchak is, quote, the only GM in the league who won't engage at all before 9:01 p.m., you know, Pacific time on the first night of free agency. And then when he calls to express interest, there's no stickiness to it. Basically, agents were complaining that Mitch Kupchak
follows the rules. Wow.
He doesn't tamper.
Yeah.
And that's not how agents like to do business.
So agents basically want to have 8 offers instantly for their guys so they can play them off each other.
So they can tell their player, like, you know, go ahead and opt out of that last year. We have a team to give you X amount of dollars, X amount of years. You know, they want certainty.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
So that's kind of screwing them a little bit because they're not even in the game, really. Yeah. Everyone's getting the head start.
He's got this old school style that is by the book the right way to do it, but yeah. I guess not the way that most people are doing it now.
Huh.
This guy on Twitter, Montverde Contradamy, had a sort of a Twitter storm about this, saying that the story is right here that agents tamper so blatantly they will leak to the press that they complain to a team rep about a lack of tampering. But you're right. It really shines a light that I hadn't really thought of before as to how the Lakers ended up with Mozgov and Luol Deng and what they could have possibly been thinking, offering so much money to these guys the first few minutes of free agency before anybody else had a chance to. I think it was just obviously overcompensating for all these different players that they missed out on because they had pie in the sky illusions about signing someone better.
And we will not miss out on Mozgov this year.
It really lowered their bar fast.
Hey, you remember how we missed out on LeBron and Carmelo and Durant? Don't miss out on Mozgov.
Not going to happen with us and Luol Deng.
Yeah. Some people are offering Luol Deng $10 million a year. All right, let's give him $18 million a year. Okay,
Matt, let's tell our listeners about how they can have that brand new clean addition to their home for pennies on the dollar.
Bob, do you have trouble cleaning your house from time to time?
All the time.
If I offered you 50% off cleaning services using the promo code Almighty50. Almighty50, would you be interested in that?
I'm so interested.
Well, then you're interested in Handy.com and the Handy app. Handy is the leading platform for connecting individuals looking for household services with top quality pre-screened independent service professionals. From home cleaning to handyman services, Handy instantly matches thousands of customers every week with trusted professionals in cities all around the world. With the seamless 60-second booking process, secure payment, and 100% money-back guarantee, Handy is the easiest, most convenient way to book home services. So here's what you do. Step 1, you select the date and time you'd like your professional to show up. Step 2, they'll confirm your appointment and take care of payment electronically and securely. Step 3, download the app to access booking management tools and more. And then step four, an experienced, fully equipped professional will show up on time at your doorstep. Interior painting, wall mounting, home and office cleaning, moving services, plumbing, electrical work, air conditioning. They do it all.
It goes on and on.
If you're not satisfied with their work, they'll refund your money. It's as simple as that, Bob.
Wow.
50% off cleaning services using the code ALMIGHTY50. Handy app, handy.com.
Matt, I got some really exciting news.
Oh, wow.
We occasionally get some fan mail from our listeners. This week we got an interesting question from our listener, Arjo.
Okay.
Arjo wrote, I was wondering, guys, who will be better in 5 years, Joel Embiid or Giannis Antetokounmpo? Also, try to predict their stats for the 2021 season, five years from now. First instinct, Matt, who's going to be better in 5 years?
Embiid or Antetokounmpo?
Freak or process?
Ooh. I do like Embiid a whole lot, but he has to kind of prove that he's gotten over this injury stuff, I think.
Sure.
I think I'll say Greek Freak at the moment, just kind of based on injury speculation.
You're right. I think Giannis is definitely the better player right now, although can't remember the last time I've been so smitten with a first-year player as I am with Joel Embiid.
I know. That's the tough part.
These two guys have a lot in common. They're both gigantic. They defy their traditional positional roles. They're both from overseas. They're both social media superstars.
Right.
Giannis, we all fell in love with when he first discovered smoothies his rookie year in the NBA.
I forgot about that.
And Joel Embiid has been drinking Shirley Temples in Hotel Radisson's the past couple of years.
Right.
They could be the Durant and LeBron James of 2022. I could see both these guys being MVP candidates.
Well, they're going to have to fight with Devin Booker for that for that title.
Predict their stats. So
okay.
Right now, Giannis is averaging more points, but Embiid has way more likes on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So let's think about all the deep stats, too.
Yeah.
Right now, let's see. Joel is dropping 20 points, 7 rebounds in less than 25 minutes a game.
Okay.
It's my vote that he's the funnier guy on social media at the moment.
Oh, yes, of course, right.
And Giannis this year is averaging 23, 9, and 5.
Wow.
He's like a 7-foot-tall Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
So my 5-year prediction, Matt, tell me if this you can see this looking into my NBA crystal ball. In 5 years, I see Joel Embiid 30-12.
Wow.
Just give him another 10-12 minutes a game.
30-12, okay.
30-12. Giannis bumping up his Westbrook evolution. I can see 27-10-7.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like a LeBron stat line. You know,
yeah.
LeBron's sort of been putting that up. He's been putting up like a 27-8-7 for about 10 straight years.
Right. Do you think Giannis could threaten a triple-double, averaging a triple-double for an entire season?
I didn't think anyone would ever be able to do that. Let's let Westbrook go a full season being able to do it before we start predicting anyone else can. He's going to need some better Bucks teammates to get those assists up,
yeah.
too. Yeah. Chris Middleton back will help. But, yeah, my big asterisk, of course, is if Embiid can stay healthy. I get nervous watching him drive to the basket every time.
You get nervous watching him sit on the bench for when he's not in the game.
All that sugar, too, can't be good for your cartilage.
Bones.
I mean, Giannis is amazing, and Giannis could go down as a top 50 player ever, but I think Embiid could go down as a top 15 player ever.
Oh,
he's got that much potential.
Yeah.
He looks like Hakeem Olajuwon if Hakeem Olajuwon like ate Clyde Drexler and could shoot threes. I can't wait for the 2021 season now. Thanks to Arjo for sending in that question. Send us in some more. Anybody else, too, you want us to talk about it on the show? We would be remiss if we didn't discuss the New York Knicks dumpster fire going on here, Matt. Let's not jump ahead too fast. Since we last spoke, Phil Jackson has slammed Carmelo Anthony a couple of times. Kevin Ding wrote an article for the Bleacher Report essentially saying that the Knicks front office believes that they can't want for Carmelo Anthony what he does not want for himself.
Okay.
Which is to win.
Right. So they saying that Carmelo's happy just getting buckets and money.
Right. You know, and last
buckets
week
of money.
Last week we were talking about how LeBron was offended by Charles Barkley coming at him, and that Barkley was claimed that he was just talking about basketball. But what he really said that I'm sure irked LeBron the most was that he's not a competitor. Asking for better teammates makes him not a competitor.
Right.
And there's nothing worse that you can say about a professional athlete, especially one that considers themselves a competitor. So Phil Jackson, he didn't come out and say, you know, this article by Bleacher Report was bogus. Or he didn't, you know, not comment on the Bleacher Report article.
Right.
Instead, he wrote, Bleacher's ding almost ring. Oh, by the way, he hadn't sent a tweet since late December when he talked about breaking off his engagement with Jeannie Buss. So okay. He hasn't sent a single tweet in like 45 days.
Okay. Almost 2 months, right.
Until, quote, Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell, but I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days. Now, that's when he coached in the Continental Basketball Association. Michael Graham was a star player for Georgetown.
Okay.
Who, when he came up and played for Albany, I think is where Phil Jackson was coaching, never really lived up to the potential that he showed in college.
All right.
And Jackson, in the article by Kevin Ding, talks about this Michael Graham guy. And says that, you know, they got into an argument in the middle of a game on New Year's Eve in 1986. And the next day, he was released from the team. Jackson said, nothing I said made any difference to him. Whenever I tried to talk to him, his eyes would glaze over and he'd retreat to some dark inner corner nobody could penetrate. Talking about Michael Graham.
Right.
And saying that Carmelo Anthony won't change his spots, just like Michael Graham couldn't change his spots.
So he said he got cut from the Albany Patroons?
That's right.
So is he threatening just to cut Carmelo?
That would be an expensive prospect.
Right.
He followed up this Tuesday tweet with a Thursday tweet.
Okay.
Saying, so after starting a fire emoji storm.
Oh, wow.
With a misunderstood tweet, I understand this peace sign emoji.
Yeah.
Our society is torn with discord.
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Okay.
Let it be.
Oh, wow. Beatles.
Beatles.
Yeah. Peace, fire.
Peace sign emoji.
Emoji. I always love when people drop our society just in the middle of just letting us know about our society.
I just said a player's eyes glaze over when you try to talk to him and he escapes to a deep recess that no one can touch.
Let it be.
I was misunderstood.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
If this caused any discord,
yeah.
You should know I'm against discord.
I'm against. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Remember 5 minutes ago when I was creating discord?
If your purpose is to find a trade partner for Carmelo, why go around and say, like, man, this guy doesn't want to compete. I can't even talk to him. You know, he's a terrible player. He reminds me of this guy who couldn't even make my CBA team 30 freaking years
ago. Yeah, it's like the anti-showcasing where they give you more minutes to show how good you are.
Yeah. Michael Graham for ESPN was saying, like, if you're trying to sell a car, you don't say, like, yeah, you know, if I was going to drive to San Francisco, I would not trust this thing at all.
Yeah.
You should buy it when you buy it.
Whenever
actually.
I tell my car we're driving to San Francisco, I see its headlights glaze over, and it looks like it just doesn't want to be here.
Jeff Hornacek's taking all this in stride.
I bet. Oh, yeah.
Hornacek was quoted as saying, I kind of not was warned, but it was expected that it was going to be something all of the time. And it's lived up to the billing. It's been something all year. So, okay, let's go play a game and try to win. In between the Phil Jackson Tuesday-Thursday tweets, there was a little incident that happened on Wednesday. with the New York Knicks. That was when Charles Oakley got into a shoving match with MSG security and was thrown out and arrested.
Right, and banned, right?
And banned indefinitely. And had the Knicks PR staff suggest that maybe he had a drinking problem and should get help.
So he was on the Open Run podcast. We were talking about listening to that, and it was really interesting because he said that every time he shows up at Madison Square Garden, there are people following him around and always keeping an eye on him. The picture he painted of was that he is not welcome there at all. Even when he was allowed to go there, it was really weird to me that they were just following him around. And
yeah, he's definitely not saying something, it seems like. Maybe it was that time I choked James Dolan upside down and shook out all his lunch money.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He kept painting as like, well, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is just a thing that's been happening to me. I don't know why this is happening. Like, yeah, but that's not how. I mean, I know that certain people don't like certain people for random reasons, but also you got to think that Oakley did something. Maybe not violent, but something to make them trepidatious. Is that a word?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you would think so. Whatever the truth is, we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the perception definitely is that Charles Oakley, beloved blue-collar, hard-working New York Knicks player, was callously thrown out of the stadium and banned by an owner who has won one playoff series in 16 years since taking over the franchise.
Right. Well, he did. I mean, he did push a few guys. Charles Oakley. He did.
I personally liked the arm chop. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
That's an effective one.
Yeah, it was good.
Reggie Miller put it well. He said, if you're a free agent to be, why would you play for an owner who treats the past greats like this or a president who stabs star players in the back?
Yeah, no, that's a very, it's not a good look.
Rachel Nichols for ESPN wrote, the Knicks could go 0-82 and it would not lose them as many fans as it would if they actually pressed charges against Charles Oakley. And in another weird twist, sitting next to James Dolan on Sunday's game versus the San Antonio Spurs was Latrell Sprewell and Larry Johnson. Sprewell, when he was traded from the Knicks in 2003, returned with the Minnesota Timberwolves and famously was cursing and yelling at James Dolan in his courtside seats from his spot on the floor.
Well, bankruptcy will make a man do things he didn't think he would have done.
Insurance commercials.
Yeah.
Now, how much do you think Sprewell might have been paid to sit next to Dolan there?
I don't know. Wow. Depends on how much you wanted to get at Charles Oakley, really. If I was Sprewell, I'd say, well, this seems like a $1 million situation.
Yeah, nice round number.
Right. I like that Michael Jordan had the conference call with Charles Oakley and James Dolan, because usually Oakley was the one that, you know, would be the enforcer and the protector of Michael Jordan, but this time MJ's coming around.
Yeah, it's a real PR nightmare, and that conference call does lead me to believe that Charles Oakley is going to be back in the stadium probably in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Because this banning of great from your franchise is just... Yeah. Asinine.
And Adam Silver's in on it too. He's been commenting on it, and so this isn't the type of, I mean, you're the Knicks, so you're just kind of weird always, but this is definitely the cherry on top of all the garbage, you know.
And if Adam Silver wants something, he gets something too. Just ask Donald Sterling or Sam Hinkie.
Yeah.
Let's get into our diss of the week here, Matt.
Yo mama is so fat.
I got a couple nominees here. One nominee from Steven Adams this week.
Oh, wow.
He was asked during an interview. Oh, he saw an intern with a cast on while he was doing an interview after practice. And he said in his New Zealand accent, hey, what happened to you? And the guy said, basketball injury. And Stephen Adams said, yeah, you punch a chair or something. Another nominee comes this week. It's an old story, but I read that the Nets traded Kyle Korver for a copy machine.
Oh, yes.
Back in the day. Yes. Kind of.
Right.
With none of their preferred choices on the board, back in 2003, the Nets brass selected Creighton forward Kyle Korver with the 51st pick and immediately sold his draft rights to the Sixers for $125,000. That covered Summer League. With the leftover cash, the Nets bought a new copy machine. That's not the diss, though. So Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye have this new podcast that Kyle Korver was on.
Right.
And Richard Jefferson asked Korver if he thinks the copier still exists. Korver said, I hope so. It doesn't have 10,000 points, though. Fair point, Kyle Korver.
That is very fair.
Oh, our winner this week, though, Matt, comes from a Deadspin article that features Michael Jordan and Joe Lacob.
Okay. The greatest poker player, blackjack player in the history of the world, and Michael Jordan.
And Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
The title of this was Michael Jordan Dunked on the Warriors Trophy Humping Owner.
Okay.
Goes on to describe Warriors owner Joe Lacob as precisely the kind of Silicon Valley bred dipshit who deserves to have his ego deflated whenever possible. Thankfully, NBA legend and pettiest human on earth, Michael Jordan, is here to do just that. Here's how Lacob recalls the conversation he had with Jordan this summer. People were drinking and having a good time and all that, but there was a moment when Jordan said, you know, 73 doesn't mean sh-.
Nice.
Michael Jordan did that, and I looked at him and I just decided not to make a big deal of it. I said, you know, you're right. We didn't win it. We had to get better. He was fantastic, and I'm not going to cross him, but that kind of hurt, you know? That was the end of the Joe Lacob quote.
Oh, wow.
Deadspin offered their final thoughts, saying, there's a 100% chance that Jordan will bring this up every time he sees Lacob for the rest of his life, and I couldn't be happier about that. Congratulations, Deadspin. You have won the diss of the week.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We'll be live from my kitchen after the All-Star game in New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Where's your kitchen? In New Orleans?
As far as my state of mind, I'm already there, Matt.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll let you know how my 12-1 bet on DeAndre in the dunk contest went, how my 5-1 bet on Kyrie to win the three-point contest goes. Maybe it was Stuff the Magic Dragon who Tanya Harding Aaron Gordon's knees out of this dunk contest. May not participate.
We'll have to look into this.
Oh, and then we'll also talk about all the trades that happened. You know, the NBA All-Star break is really, the real reason for it is so all the GMs can get in one place and drink enough liquor to muster enough courage to pull the trigger on these multi-million dollar deals that like make or break their careers.
Right. Yeah, so, if I was a GM, I would just sit in a room and be like, nobody talk to me.
Try to keep my job here.
Yeah.
Send us an email through our website, brickhousepodcast.com. You can tweet us at brickhousepod. We really appreciate those of you who have left a rating and review on iTunes. And if you haven't, there's still time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It makes it sound like there's a deadline, Bob.
We're really grateful if you want to do that. Enjoy the trade, Bonanza, and we'll talk to you on the next episode of Brick House.
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How.